Hello, Siobhan Sarna here with SIBO SOS, and I'm honored to have you here watching this presentation and Karen Krishnan, who is the microbiologist who is the founder of so many conferences and studies. And of course, we know and love him from Microbiome Labs, the creators of Megaspore and the new stool test and total gut restoration. And Kieran's also offered our group an exclusive discount, a couple of codes, even if you've ever shopped there before, which we will put in the chat of the Zoom and in the Facebook feed. So give us a few minutes and we'll post those there. Kieran and I were talking the other day during a presentation that he recorded with me for my upcoming Lymphatic Rescue Summit. And it was so obvious that I needed to ask him to continue the immune system conversation with my community. That's you. So thank you for being here, sir. Tell us about what you've been discovering. By the way, we're going to send the recording out. And when we send it out, you can see the other talks. This is for free that Kieran has done in the community. So it's like a whole little course, the Kieran course. And just load up, guys, because that is gold in those conversations we've had. And there have been several, thank goodness. So this is going to be on the immune system. We have ones on SIBO, we have ones on the immune system. Some of the best explanations Kieran has given us about how the microbiome revolves around and involves the immune system. Enough for me. Kieran, tell us what you've been observing these days and what we need to be thinking about for our gut and our immunity.
Yeah, hi. First of all, thank you so much for having me again. And thank you to all those that are here live watching. I see there's a lot of people on here. Hi, Leah sent us a specific message of hello. So thank you for that. And this is such a relevant topic to be talking about. I've done talks on the immune system for years now, and of course on the microbiome and even topics of how they connect. But this couldn't be more relevant right now because not only of the spotlight on immunity based on the pandemic that's going on, but then also the most recent publications that have come out that show that what your gut signature looks like will predict how severe of an illness you'll have with the current pandemic, right? So it all goes hand in hand. In fact, it's a great predictive tool of whether you're the type that's going to have severe hospitalization, even mortality rates from this infection. And then also the whole long hauler concept, right? So why is it that some people are able to control the infection after a period of time, maybe 1 or 2 weeks, but then there's all of these long haul symptoms that continue to persist, whether it's neurological symptoms, muscular symptoms, inflammatory conditions, all of those things seem to be being driven in people for long periods of time. There are people that have been suffering from COVID-related symptomology for now 8, 9 months since the beginning of this whole thing. So what is the connection between all of that? So first, we could journey through this a little bit together, so I can give you guys more basics on how the immune system functions. What is the role of the microbiome in immune function, which is going to be critical to understand. And then what have we learned from the most recent studies in terms of the role of the microbiome with response to this pandemic and any other infectious agent your body will ever encounter? It's all basically the same in many regards, right? So let's talk about the immune system for one. The immune system is a really interesting component of your body. Number one, the immune system and the microbiome are together, right? So we think of them and we talk about them as separate systems. They're essentially the same system. And the reason why they're the same system is they're highly dependent on one another. There is some amazing crosstalk going on between your immune system and your microbiome in order for both your immune system and your microbiome to function the way they're supposed to. And a couple of claims I always make is, number one, your immune system would cease to function or even exist if it wasn't for your microbiome, right? So that's how intimately they're connected. And I'll explain some of that to you. Keep in mind, if you are an immune cell, right? Let's take you and put you in the shoes of an immune cell. And your job as an immune cell is to survey parts of the host. Let's say you're an immune cell that's surveying the lungs all the time, looking for a new infectious agent that may come in and create damage and illness in the host. And you're surveying the lungs all the time. You're swimming around the mucosa in the lungs and you're surveying it. Well, in that sea, of lung mucosa that you're surveying, you already have hundreds of billions of microbes in that environment, right? And what are you looking for? You're looking for microbes that are entering that environment. So you are surveying an ecosystem that is already full of viruses, bacteria, fungi, and so on. And your job is to look for viruses, bacteria, fungi, and so on, right? So how can you possibly do your job? How can you possibly understand what is friend, what is foe, which bacteria is going to cause you harm, which bacteria is friendly, which virus is going to cause harm, which virus is friendly? How do you survey all of that? There's a 200,000 to one ratio in your body for the areas that have to be surveyed and protected by the immune system. What do I mean by that? For every one immune cell, there are 200,000 microbes, right? So it's a daunting task for the immune system. There's almost no chance that the immune system can accurately and with any degree of efficiency survey this entire ecosystem to keep us safe without some additional help. And inside your body, right? Remember, we used to always hear that the skin is the largest surface in the body, right? The skin is about 40 square feet or so in surface area. Sounds big. It's kind of big, right? If you lay it out 40 square feet, that's a good amount of square footage. If you're standing up in a room, of course, it's not a very big room, but it's something. When you look at the square footage inside your body of this area called the mucosa is almost 4,000 square feet inside your body, right? Everybody watching this would be pretty happy living in a 4,000 square foot apartment. That's a lot of surface area. Imagine all of that is folded up inside your body. And that's the area in which all the microbes live that live within your system normally. And that's also the area that your immune cells are surveying and trying to find culprits that are going to cause illness for you. So there's a lot of surface area. There's a 200,000 to one ratio. Every immune cell has over 200,000 microbes it has to keep monitoring. And at the end of the day, you need a very intricate supportive system for the immune system to even be able to function at its basic level, right? There's just too much space, too many targets, and not enough time in order for your immune system to protect you the way you think it should. Because, right, our imagination of what the immune system does is the moment a virus, let's assume your immune system is perfectly healthy, the moment a virus or a bacteria enters into your system and starts to create an infection, the immune system hones in on that site and starts attacking and protecting and so on, right? And that does happen, but that only happens if you have a healthy microbiome. In fact, the immune system will not even react to the presence of a pathogen if you don't have a healthy microbiome, right? It doesn't know what a infectious virus looks like. It doesn't know what an infectious bacteria looks like. It doesn't know who is friend or foe. It doesn't know where the fire is in the body. It doesn't know any of those things unless the microbiome tells it, right? So the microbiome is the neighborhood watch and the eyes and ears of the immune system. When you think about that 200,000 to one ratio, right? For every one immune cell, you have 200,000 microbes that are in an area, in any given area that one immune cell has to survey. The only way that immune cell would know if one of those 200,000 microbes is actually an infectious pathogen is if the other 199,000 microbes were also watching out for that pathogen and informs the immune cell of the presence of that pathogen. The analogy I use is, remember those fantasy days where we could all go out to big concerts and group gatherings and all that, right? Long time ago, what seems like 10 years ago, but was about a year ago. So imagine you are at an outdoor festival in like a stadium, right? And that stadium has 200,000 people there. Okay. And among that 200,000, there may be two or three people that have ill intentions for the crowd, right? They have some illicit weapon or they have something bad that could harm a lot of people in that space. And you are the lone security guard in that space. Your job is to rapidly walk and run around all of that crowd to try to find these illicit people. And imagine they look exactly like everybody else that's there, right? The only way you would be able to figure out if someone is doing something off and you and actually hone in on those problematic people is if the other 199,000 people, 995 people, 199,995 people are radioed into you and also watching out for suspicious activity. So when they see something, then they can radio to you and go, hey, we see something unusual. Come to this specific area where there's something suspicious is going on. That's exactly what's happening with the immune system. In order for it to even act and function and hone in on where a new pathogen is coming in, the microbiota in that area have to be able to recognize that pathogen and then signal to the immune system that there's a problem here and recruit the immune cells to come to this area in order to address the function, the infection, right? So that is the foundation of the first part of how the microbiome and the immune system work together, right? Any questions that have popped
up?
Are
you going to talk about the dendritic cells at all?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Because that blew my mind. Keep going, Karen. You're okay. On a roll, man. You're on a roll.
All right. So here's the crazy thing about it, right? So you've got two major parts to your immune response. You've got the innate immune response and you've got the adaptive immune response, right? And so this is how the kinetics of your immune system is supposed to work. You know, here comes a little pathogen, it enters into your system. Let's just take your lungs as an example. You've got a new virus that comes in hopefully a virus you haven't seen before, because then you need the innate response first. But let's say it's any kind of virus that enters into your system, it enters into your lungs, right? What the way your immune kinetics works is the first part of the immune system respond to the presence of that virus is the innate immune system. That is your dendritic cells, your macrophages, your natural killer cells. Those cells will go and directly try to get the virus and then try to also get the cells that are infected by the virus by eating them and destroying them in some way or the other. That provides control around the infection itself. Now, then the next thing they do, especially the dendritic cells and the macrophages, they're called antigen-presenting cells. When they come along to the site of infection and they see this little virus bobbing around trying to infect cells, they will eat the virus or eat the entire cell that's infected by the virus, and then they'll take a component of the cell and they will present it on their surface, and they'll migrate over to where T cells are, which is in the lymph nodes, the local lymph nodes from that infection, and they'll present that component to the T cell and go, hey, here's a thing you need to pay attention to. This is what the virus looks like. And then the T cell will hone in on that and go, okay, now I know what it looks like. I'm going to activate B cells that'll produce antibodies against this thing. And then I'm going to activate cytotoxic T cells that can also identify this thing and then go and find cells that are infected by this thing and kill those cells off, because those cells are now becoming virus factories, right? So we need to shut down the factory and we need to stop the viruses themselves. So you've got your antibody response that goes and does that. You've got your T cells that go and kill the virus factories. And that's how you kind of start quenching the infection and bringing things under control. Now your B cells become the long-term memory. So then the next time you see that virus again, the B cells are already ready to go. And they're going to start pushing out a whole bunch of antibodies to neutralize the virus. That's why you may never even notice that you got exposed to that same virus again, because your B cells neutralize it very quickly. And then you've got memory T cells that also remember this interaction with the dendritic cells. And then they hang around for long periods of time waiting to look for that pathogen again. So the next time you encounter those pathogens, you may get one of two, if not both, memory T cell and B cell response at quickly without all the symptomology you felt in the first place, the fever, the body aches, the inflammation. They will very quickly come and neutralize that infection. That is immunity, right? Now, all of that is dependent on the function of those dendritic cells, right? The dendritic cell's job is to be an early responder, get to the site of action, recognize the infection that's going on, eat the virus, bacteria, or infected cells, or all three, and then take that and present it to the T cells and B cells. Without that step happening, the rest of the immune cascade cannot occur, right? So we're so dependent on those dendritic cells. Here's a crazy thing. In 2012, there was a group of researchers that worked internationally with a number of researchers, started doing studies to understand what creates the energy and the tonality of the dendritic cell response when a new pathogen enters the system, right? So what is bringing the dendritic cell to that region and what causes the dendritic cell to kind of become activated and start doing the work that it does, the critically important work. They found that there were signals from the microbiome that were actually being sent out from the local microbiome, wherever that virus is infecting. The local microbiota that live in that neighborhood are alerting the dendritic cells to bring them to that area. And then they actually provide the activation signals for the local dendritic cells to actually start doing the job that it does. So that's what they found out in 2012. Then they've been working on that for another 8 years, all kinds of variations of that research. In 2020, they published a very definitive paper showing that without the microbiome, the dendritic cells actually have zero idea how to respond and don't respond at all, right? So they can take these mice that are called nobiotic mice. These are mice that are raised without a microbiome. So they have all the other components of their immune system. They have all these dendritic cells, T cells, B cells, and so on, right? They have all of those components, but they don't have a microbiome. So what happens is they can inject in a viral pathogen into these mice, and the dendritic cells will sit there right next to a virus-infected cell and just watch. It cannot respond. It doesn't know what to do. It doesn't know that it has to go and eat that infected cell or eat that virus, take it over to the T cells, present it, get the antibody production, get the memory T cell production going. It doesn't know it has to do that if it doesn't get a signal from the microbiome. So it's completely dependent on the microbiome for that thing to happen. And that is the root of your immune response in general, right? So that's why I say that your immune system would cease to function and cease to exist the way you think it should without the microbiome. Now, of course, in humans, there isn't a single person in the world that we know of that has no microbiome, right? So that's not the concern. The concern, however, is a dysbiotic microbiome. If you have a dysfunction in your microbiome, if you have low diversity, if you have low levels of protective keystone strains, if you have leakiness in the gut, if you have higher levels of opportunistic pathogen, does that create the same kind of disruption? And the answer is yes. There's a number of studies that have shown that when you compromise the microbiota, it dramatically compromises immune response. In fact, that is particularly true in antiviral immune response, right? There's lots of studies that have been published that show that antibiotic use prior to being exposed to a viral pathogen like the flu virus completely compromises your ability to respond to the flu virus, right? Another really great example of that is in cancer immunotherapy, right? If you're not familiar with cancer immunotherapy, there are certain really egregious cancers like melanoma or non-small cell lung cancer that have high mortality rates, but a certain percentage of people can actually have amazing results because of immunotherapy. And immunotherapy actually stimulates your own T cells to go after the cancer, the tumor, right? So it's dependent on the functionality of your immune system to go after the tumor. And if your immune system is functioning properly, the results are beautiful. About 20-25% of people respond very well. The cancer is gone and they hardly ever revert. But the other 60-70% of people get no response and sometimes even a toxic response. And the big question is, what is the difference between those people? As it turns out, more and more data has come out to show that the big difference between those two groups of people, the responders at 20-25% and the complete non-responders, is their microbiome. If their microbiome is disrupted prior to starting the immunotherapy will not work, wow. Right? If you take a course of antibiotics right before you start immunotherapy, immunotherapy will not work, right? Just a single course of antibiotics causes enough disruption in your microbiome that it completely disrupts and attenuates your immune system's ability to respond properly, right? So what does that tell you? It tells you that one of the most important foundational focuses on immune health is your microbiome, without having a healthy microbiome, your immune system is going to be compromised. And you cannot take enough vitamin C, you cannot take enough zinc, you cannot take enough echinacea or elderberry to overcome the dysfunction in your immune system due to a dysfunctional microbiome. Those things are important. I take them every day. I take vitamin C every day. I take zinc every day and so on. But I'm also heavily focused on ensuring I have certain characteristics of my microbiome that are functioning well, right? Without those characteristics functioning well, your immune system would almost cease to function and exist. Now, let's tie a few more things together, unless there's some questions or thoughts, Siobhan.
Oh my gosh, you have so many questions coming in, my dear. So let me just quickly see. Let me just quickly see here. Are you working on any new products? I'm just going to rapid fire here. Any new products for hydrogen sulfide SIBO folks?
Yeah. So you know, SIBO, if you heard me speak on this platform, you've heard me say that there's a couple of things that seem to be associated with SIBO that we're not really addressing very well. One of the key things is H. pylori. Right. So H. pylori goes hand in hand with SIBO. In fact, the studies that show that H. pylori infection creates a dramatic risk on having small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. So one of the things that we've worked on that we have coming out is a very clever and safe way of dealing with H. pylori overgrowth, because the last thing we want to try to do is throw in, you know, any additional antimicrobials, antibiotics, and so on in the system, right? So we've actually have now that will be coming out into the marketplace, a probiotic bacteria, a lactobacilli probiotic bacteria that actually is naturally honed in on grabbing H. pylori in the stomach and taking it out of the system. So when you take this, right, it floats into your stomach. It actually seeks out H. pylori. When it sees it, it actually physically binds to H. pylori and takes it out of the system, right?
That's
so it
awesome.
Right? It escorts it out, basically. It's an amazing technology.
When's that coming?
We should have that out hopefully in 3 or 4 months. And we think that's going to be a very critical part to starting the overall, repair of the dysfunction associated with having overgrowth. And not everybody that has SIBO will have elevated H. pylori, but it seems to be a good percentage. I would guess about 40 to 50%, you know, and it's really hard to address that.
Very hard. Nadine wants to know, can you take Megaspore Biotic before, during pregnancy and breastfeeding? When can you see an improvement when taking it in dementia or concentration disorder? She's from Belgium.
Okay. So yeah, you can absolutely take it during pregnancy, after pregnancy, while you're trying to conceive, all of that. In fact, it can be argued that it can be very, very important from a health perspective to take it and get control of that metabolic endotoxemia, right? Because that's one of the key functions of Megaspore, sealing up that gut lining, and you want to reduce that amount of LPS that is translocating. And in fact, I'll mention something about the studies on LPS and COVID. So that's really important to note as well. So it's always a healthy, good time to be on it to try to help and maintain your microbiota, the barrier integrity of your lining. And then the second part of the question, Siobhan, was when can you feel the response?
Yeah, when do you feel the response? She's got somebody in her life with dementia issues and memory issues.
Yeah, you know, I
mean, that's a big medical question, obviously.
Yeah, here's what I would say about that. What you're doing when you're taking Megaspore with regards to dementia and all that is you're supporting some of the root cause functions that are important in order to provide a healthier environment so you're not driving those conditions, right? I don't know that somebody will take it and then within a short amount of time start feeling differently in their brain. And I don't want to mislead people that is a possibility. That's not something we've seen. What we talk about is how it addresses one of the root cause issues that makes those kinds of conditions worse, Right.
Okay.
So there are other things you would have to do to help support brain function. There are other nutrients you would take, right? You might use L-theanine, you might use andrographis, you know, there are a number of things that you would do, high DHA fish oils, all of that to kind of help the brain, you know, keep functioning the way it should. High doses of vitamin K2-7 would be extremely important for neurological activity in the brain. But what you're doing with the megaspore is really helping the foundational issue that drives the problems associated with that condition.
A couple of people are asking the same question, which is it okay to take Megaspore long term, or should we pulse it, meaning on and then off?
Yeah.
How do you help people with that?
So the natural exposure to Bacillus endospores is that you get regular exposure throughout your normal lifestyle, right? And of course, we don't have that kind of lifestyle anymore where we would get regular exposure. So nature has designed these organisms to be something that we get exposed to on a regular basis. And because they act transiently, meaning they go into your system, they do a bunch of repair, they do a bunch of metabolic activities, they support the rest of the microbiome. So they do all of these important housekeeping functions, but then they're also designed to leave after a few weeks. So they maintain this continuous flow through the system where they come in, they do a bunch of housekeeping things that are extremely important to you, and then they leave and they go back out into the environment, right? So it is important to get a continuous exposure to it because they do pull against things that disrupt your gut. For example, we published a study, was it last year or the year before? Now the years are blending together, but it might have been in August of 2019, showing that you know, when your gut goes through a certain amount of damage because of antibiotic use, when you add in the spores, it can actually start to pull back and help reverse some of that damage that was caused by the antibiotics. So we also did a study on kids' microbiomes with exposure to Roundup. And we found that when you expose a child's microbiome to Roundup, the kind of levels you'd get in lots of foods in the US, you get very distinct dysbiosis and damage to the microbiome in a relatively short amount of time. But if you expose them to Roundup with the spores, it actually reduces that damage quite severely. And in fact, in many ways, starts repairing it. So the spores act as like kind of this continuous protection for your gut, for your microbiome, because we are inevitably surrounded by things that are continuously damaging our gut. So it's like it's no different than wearing a seatbelt, right? You wouldn't get in your car and go, I'm just going to wear the seatbelt every third day that I drive because, you know, I've driven now, you know, 100 times and not gotten an accident. Well, you put it on because it's part of the safety protective mechanism for that action. Megaspore acts as that safety and protection for your gut in the toxic world that we live in.
A lot of people are asking about how to titrate up on Megaspore. Cassandra has been on it for a really long time, started with a third of a pill about 4 months ago, and still can only tolerate half at once, but better than nothing, she's saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Take it slow. You know, it's rare that we find people that take 6 months to get up to two caps, but we do find them. You know, and you're all quite a bit different. You've all got slightly different issues and dysbiosis within your system. So there are about 80% of the people that start taking the product that can take two caps a day right off the bat and be fine. We find that about 10% of the people or so, if they start with any more than even if they start with one cap, it's a little too much. Most of those people do fine with half a cap to begin with. And then there's an even smaller fraction where sometimes they need to go quarter cap every other day for a while, you know, and then you just have to slowly inch it up into your system. So don't get anxious about the time that it takes to get up to the normal dose, right? Because it's your own unique system that will help dictate some of that. I've had people that have taken a year to get to a full two caps. And when they do, it can be dramatically changing for them in terms of their symptoms and issues that they're dealing with. But they persisted with it and they got there and they were doing great. So you know, don't think of it as a formulaic time frame. It really depends on your system and how much you can tolerate the change that's occurring within the system.
So people are also asking, can you become dependent on it? I think, we're scared. People are scared, right, Karen? I mean, we're scared about being dependent, something going wrong, trying to do something right, but it backfires. So is it okay for long-term use? Do we become immune to it? I think is a better way of asking the question, which is the gist of it.
Yeah, so there's almost two concepts there. So do we
Yes.
become immune to it? Let me take that first because that is a factor in lots of probiotics, and I heard that when I first got into the probiotic industry, a decade or so ago, is that certain products, after a little bit of time, the effects wear off, right? And that's why some doctors and all have come up with this idea of rotating probiotics around because the effect can wear off. So that's one kind of question, like if I take it for too long, will the effect wear off? And the answer for that is absolutely not, because the spores are continuously doing what they do. They will always do the same kinds of things in your gut, no matter what, right? And sometimes you will feel that as a measurable change because of where you started. But once you're at this kind of good harmonious place, you may not feel anything. You just may feel the maintenance of being in that state. Right. But if you come off of it and you allow your gut to get dysbiotic for a period of time, you may start to revert. Now, is that a dependency on the product or is that a dependency in having a balanced system? Right. The product is affording you a balanced system. It's no different than can you get dependent on eating really healthy food? You
Right.
know, yes, your health is dependent on doing that behavior. And the moment you stop that behavior or a little while after stopping that behavior and changing your behavior, you will revert to being to having an unhealthy presentation. So in that sense, then yes, absolutely, your gut will become dependent on maintaining its homeostasis by the power and function of the spores. And if you come off of it for too long, like say 2 months, 3 months, and you have some bad behaviors and the habits that you're doing that actually damage the gut, you can revert back to your old state, right? Because the microbiome is an ecosystem, right? So if you pull too much this way and it's in the negative
Right.
direction, you will it'll will change and it'll change for the worse. But if you pull it back this way, you can change it back for the better. So the question is, do you want to maintain it in this healthy, balanced state most of the time so you don't have to work too hard at it?
People are asking, you're going to talk about LPS, and then I've got a couple of questions about HU58 and the Total Gut Restore program, which, by the way, is what Kieran's given us 10% off on, the Total Gut Restore program. And if Pauline is here in the group, could you post that in the chat, please, to everybody? And then also, he hardly ever does this. I'm psyched. Thanks, Kieran. 15% off everything on the Microbiome Labs site, temporarily for because you're here and in this group. And Pauline will post that as well. So thank you, Kieran, for that. Okay,
Yeah.
LPS. I really
Yeah.
appreciate
So
that. And then let's go over what those products are because I know people are asking.
totally. And this is actually really, really relevant why we talked about the total gut restoration right now as well, right? Because there are certain features of a dysbiotic gut that seem to be really impactful on immune response, right? And that has there's been other studies that have shown that, like studies on influenza, on rotavirus, norovirus, and so on. But then now in this new pathogen, there are three new studies that have published that have looked at what does the gut look like of people that have really poor response to this pathogen and versus people who are healthy and don't have infection or had a very easy go of the infection, right? And then also there was another study that looked at what does the gut look like of people that got infected 30 days after the infection subsided, and especially if they had some persistent symptomology. So there's some key components to it. Number one, back to diversity, right? Low diversity in the gut microbiota is a predictive factor in how your immune system is going to respond to the presence of this new pathogen, right? So if you have low diversity, your immune response to it is going to be poor. The second part of it is a keystone strain that we talk about a lot called Fecalum bacteria prausnitzii. Fecalum bacteria prausnitzii is incredibly important as an anti-inflammatory organism, as one that plays an important role in creating things like short-chain fatty acids, which are really important for immune response and shuttling the immune system towards the adaptive protective immune response. And Fecalum bacteria prausnitzii also helps maintain diversity in the rest of the microbiome. And so it's not surprising that I think two, if not three, independent studies have come out and shown that if you have low levels of Fecalim bacteria prausnitzii in your microbiome, you have a much higher risk of severe response to this new pathogen, right? So there's a direct tie there between a keystone species in your gut and your the ability of your immune system to deal with this pathogen. Now, the same thing applies to a couple other microbes, Eubacterium rectalis, and then bifidobacteria as well, a few different bifidos like Longum, Adelicentes in particular, right? So these are some of the keystone species that seem to be incredibly important to having to helping your immune system deal with this new pathogen. But it's also the same things when you have low levels of that increase leaky gut and increase your risk for all the conditions that are at the root cause of a dramatic response to this pathogen. For example, what are the top pre-existing conditions that likely means you're going to have a really bad go of this pathogen? It's diabetes, obesity, hypertension, cardiovascular disease, right? These four things are at the top. These four conditions are also characterized by having leaky gut, low Fecalim bacteria prausnitzii, low bifidobacteria, low diversity, and high amounts of LPS in circulation, right? LPS, the lipopolysaccharide that's allowed to leak through from the mucosa, which is the lumen part of the microbiome, past your intestinal lining into circulation, right? And remember, LPS, if you don't remember from other talks, it's an endotoxin that is generated within the microbiome. It's made by gram-negative bacteria. And if it just stays in the intestinal lining, it's fine. And it moves out of the body through defecation. But if your gut is leaky, it's going to leak through and end up inside your circulation, right? So elevated levels of LPS in your system and having low Fecalim bacteria, low Akkermansia, low bifidobacteria, and having low diversity are all the number one drivers of diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and aging in general, right? So all of these conditions, the biggest, and hypertension, all of these conditions that are also at the root cause of the most severe COVID response. So it's all tied together. So dysfunctional metabolic health, dysfunctional immune risk, and your ability to respond to this new pathogen are all tied to these key features within the gut microbiome, right? So that's why it's so important to pay attention to those. And keep in mind, you know, we're not saying by any means that things that help these conditions are treatments or anything like that. We're not
Correct.
validating that, right? So that and
Thank you.
so that's really important to note. But what these studies have shown is that there's a clear correlation between having dysfunctions in these features of your gut and then the severity of disease that one would get. So as far as what you can do personally, you can do things to help those features in your gut because that provides overall health anyway, right? So that's where the TGR became really important because one of the reasons why.
It's TGR, Total Gut Restoration Program, guys. That's what he means.
That's exactly right. The Total Gut Restoration Program, because the reason that was developed in the first place was to deal with those specific dysfunctions because well before this whole pandemic thing ever started, it was very clear that those same dysfunctions were at the root cause of so many chronic issues, right? And if you could address those dysfunctions, you really support the system in dealing with those chronic issues. And so that was the whole idea behind developing the Total Gut Restoration System. We already knew that the megaspore helped with the leakiness in the gut, right? And it started to help with the diversity in the gut as well. We've got some data on that. But we wanted to bring in a couple other components that specifically help the keystone strains, the Fecalim bacteria, the Akkermansia, the Bifidobacterium longum, the Rhamnococcus, and so on, and then also specifically help rebuild that mucosal lining that's so important in the gut. And so that's where the mega prebiotic and the mega mucosa come in handy, right? Those are the kinds of things that they do. So when you put them all together, into a single system, what you're doing is you're addressing all of those highly common dysfunctions in the gut, starting with the leakiness, with the low diversity. So you're increasing diversity, you're increasing the growth of those keystone species, you are rebuilding that mucosal lining, you are modulating the immune response in the mucosal lining, and you're reducing the amount of LPS that's leaking into your circulatory system. Right. So that's the importance of the total gut restoration
Do
system.
you have the packaging there? Do you have the kit itself?
You know, my team is supposed to send it to me. I don't have it yet.
Okay.
But it's
Do
a
you have
nice
the
box.
single products that you can just show
I
us?
do. Yeah. Let me
Yeah,
actually
let's do that.
grab those real quick. One second.
And then other people are asking about, can you still hear me, Kieran?
Yeah.
Okay. Other people are asking about when to use, okay, so let's say they've been on an antibiotic. What's your suggestion protocol for sort of, helping the microbiome after an antibiotic?
Yeah. So if you're done already with the course of antibiotics, then the best thing we always do is tell people to get on the total gut restoration system, because you want, because of what we found, and this is in a study we published, and then there's other literature that's out there as well, is when you have a course of antibiotics, it's not just disrupting the species and killing off certain types of bacteria within the gut. It also leads to damage in the actual lining of the gut, because of that disruption in the ecosystem, it causes a lot of inflammatory response in the actual lining. And so the lining gets damaged as well. So not only is it important to try to restore some of the balance back into the ecosystem, but you also want to be able to start facilitating the kind of the healthy repair of that lining itself. So if you've already had a course of antibiotics, let's say you finished it a week ago or even 6 months ago, then you want to get on the total gut restoration to address all of those issues. Studies have shown that a single course of clindamycin 7 days can disrupt what your gut looks like for up to 2 years, right? So yeah, so
Sorry.
it's not like if you had the antibiotic a year ago, you don't have to think like, oh my God, it's too late, I can't do anything about it. Your gut is still likely messed up from it, and you can still usher it back into its healthy state, right?
Thank
So that's
God. So
and if
poor
you are currently on an antibiotic, or you're
thing.
about to get on an antibiotic, right? Or you know you're going to have to take one. I got a message like this from a friend of mine just yesterday saying, I know I have to take an antibiotic in a couple of days. My doctor is making me do it. What should I do about it? Well, if you are about to get on the antibiotic, then we always have the people take the Megaspore, and then the HU58, which is a, I think most of you know that product, the single bottle.
No. You have to tell them because we have a lot of new people here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let me grab those couple bottles as well. One quick second.
Okay. So in summary, people are asking about what the total gut restoration program is addressing, and it is leaky gut. And when you get sent the recording of this today, it'll be probably tomorrow afternoon, maybe later today. We're working on it. Be sure to get into the place where we have a course called the Kieran Krishnan course. It's free in our platform. Be sure to go in there and you can see other presentations he's done with us for leaky gut and SIBO, et cetera. So, all right, go ahead.
Yeah, so let's say you are currently on an antibiotic or about to start one. While you're on the antibiotic, we have you take this, which is the Megaspore Biotic. So you take two caps of that, and then you actually take two caps of this called Restore Flora, and then also two caps of this called HU58. And it sounds excessive, right? But it's a really egregious process that occurs within your microbiome when you have an antibiotic. And again, I don't want to just make antibiotics seem bad, bad, bad. There are lots of reasons why
Oh my
you
gosh,
need
they can
them.
save your life, you guys. It's
Totally.
awesome that they
So,
exist.
and because of the discovery of antibiotics, we've saved millions and millions of lives throughout the course of human history, but they do damage into your gut microbiome. And there's no reason why you can't have both. You can't have the benefit that you need from the antibiotic with minimizing the damage that occurs as well. And that's kind of the whole system. So we do two of these in the morning, usually with whatever meal that you might eat in the morning, two of these in the afternoon, the Restore Flora, and then two of these in the evening, right? And again, if you're a highly sensitive person and you're nervous about taking two, two, and two, you can go one, one, and one. You know, even if you get a half a cap of each throughout the day, you're still doing yourself some good. So that's important to keep in mind. Now, the total gut restoration, you know, has three parts to it, right? So it's got the recondition, reinforce, and rebuild. Those are the three R's that when we walk through what is going on with the standard American gut and in terms of how the gut becomes dysfunctional and what is and the dysfunction that's associated with the vast majority of chronic conditions, we find that the first part is you need to recondition what the microbiome looks like. You need to recondition it, and that's typically with the megaspore itself. So you start with the megaspore in the first 30 days. And what the megaspore is doing in that first 30 days, number one, it's sealing up the gut lining, right? So it's reducing the leakiness in the gut, which is really important because that leakiness keeps perpetuating dysbiosis, right? So the leakiness and the inflammation associated with it actually causes more dysbiosis in adjacent sections of your intestine over time. Keep in mind that your intestine is really, really long, right? 22, 28 feet or whatever it may be, depending on the person. And you might be leaky in a 1 foot section of your intestine. It's not the entire thing, right? And if that 1 foot section stays leaky, the inflammation and damage that's going on in that one section will then bleed into the next section and so on and so forth. So this leaky portion becomes bigger and bigger and bigger throughout your life. And if it's not addressed, it gets to a threshold level where so much is influxing into your circulation, the LPS and other toxins, that then it becomes a profound case that leads to a condition that you can then put a label on, whether it's an autoimmune condition, diabetes, obesity, whatever it may be. So the whole idea is, from a mechanistic standpoint, the megaspore will start to address the dysbiosis, the dysfunctional organisms, the leakiness in the gut, the sealing up those tight junctions, and competing against those kind of opportunistic problematic organisms, right? And it starts the process of helping some of the keystone strains grow. So what we want to do next is, because you are now changing the microbiome as a whole, we want to reinforce those changes. And that's where the next step comes in. That's a reinforce step, and that's with the MegaPre. Right, so the MegaPre is this unique set of oligosaccharides that specifically feed certain categories of good bacteria, especially keystone strains. That Faecalum bacteria prausnitzii that we talked about, that was so important in the COVID immune studies, it feeds and increases Faecalum bacteria prausnitzii quite dramatically. Right. So and then Acromantia, and then Bifidobacteria, all classes, all species of Bifidobacteria, Lactobacilli, Rhamnococcus, all of these different categories of really important functional bacteria, it starts to feed. And these are the microbes that the megaspore started to help to begin with. So the whole idea is, this is starting to help those microbes. This comes in and reinforces the growth and the establishment of those microbes, because your gut microbiome is still tenuous. Right. Even though this reconditions starts bringing about those organisms, unless you come in and reinforce it over a period of time, it may not be a permanent change. There are other negative forces that keep pulling against the repairing and reconditioning of the gut. So that's the whole idea. You recondition with this first 30 days. Second 30 days, you add this in. So you're still on this, but you add this in. And then the last 30 days, because now you've got a much different microbiome, you've got a healthier looking microbiome, then you provide that healthy microbiome with the tools it needs to repair that gut lining in a very dynamic fashion. So the tools that we're talking about are four key amino acids. These four key amino acids are the building blocks of the mucosal structure in your intestinal lining. When you add those four key amino acids, the rebuilding of that mucosa is dramatically increased. Now, we also added polyphenols in here, because polyphenols are incredibly important for Acromantia and certain categories of keystone bacteria within your large bowel. And polyphenols also help induce cell turnover within your gut, and then systemically as well. So as your cells get damaged because of infection, of oxidative stress, of aging, whatever it may be, of stress in general, it needs to be replaced. The mitochondria need to be replaced within those cells. Polyphenols play a really important role in that kind of regeneration activity at the cellular level. And then the last thing is we have that immunoglobulin in the product, because the immunoglobulin has been shown in studies like in HIV patients who have really bad leaky gut, that the immunoglobulin can modulate some of the immune response within the mucosa and really support a healthy function of that gut lining, right? So that becomes the last component of it. And so in month number three, you're actually taking all three of these together, right?
Build
so
up,
month,
right.
Yeah, you build up. Month number one is just this. Month number two, you're taking these two together. And then month number three, you're actually adding all three. Now, we have this, the prebiotic, as a capsule option as well. For those that don't want to do powder in this case, or you don't want the monk fruit sweetener, whatever it may be, you can get this in capsule form. So that's another structure in the TGR kit. This is not in capsule form because it would require something like 12 capsules a day to get the active ingredients in there. So we don't want it to be too crazy for people. So that's the basic premise. And then what we typically recommend to people is after that 90-day period, you know, especially if you're working with a health practitioner, or, you know, you're assessing yourself, you take an assessment at the end of the 90 days on how you are, what progress you've made. Do you need to do another 90-day cycle, or do you need to do just a 30-day cycle? Because some people then feel like they made huge progress in that 90 days, but they're not quite there yet. So they do another 30-day period with these three, and then see where they are in that at the end of that next 30 days. So you can keep checking yourself. Now, once you're done with it, let's say you've made huge progress, you feel great, you feel like your system's functioning properly, then what you can do is you just simply stay on the Megaspore as your maintenance, right? Your two caps a day dose, and then you can use these intermittently, right? So you can use these, a couple times a week, maybe just on the weekends. You might use it every other day, depending on what's going on in your system. But you can use them kind of intermittently to maintain the system. You don't necessarily need to use them every day. I don't end up using them every single day. I probably use them maybe three or four times a week. And especially if, you know, in olden days when we could go out to restaurants and all that, normally, if we're going out for an evening and we're eating and drinking and doing lots of stuff that we know is not good for the gut, I'd come home and I'd take a scoop of each of these and before bed and just get that into my system, right? So hopefully that answered some questions. A quick point I want to make about LPS, which is really interesting. There's a new study that came out on COVID and LPS, which is interesting to note. Because what's been known is that LPS, that endotoxin that's circulating around in your system, there are lots of pathogens that can actually grab onto the LPS and use it as a way of entering into cells. And as it turns out, COVID has some of the similar characteristics. It actually does bind to to LPS that's made in the human body in human cells. And it's the E. coli LPS, at least that's the one they tested. It likely binds to other LPS as well, but we all have lots of E. coli in our gut. We're producing E. coli LPS. So the idea there is that if you have a high abundance of LPS circulating in your system, then that provides this virus more chance to grab onto it and use it as a shuttle to enter into your cells, right? So there's a lot to think about here. Yeah. Because, these are the kinds of things that you can do to improve your own resilience, you know, and make yourself just kind of overall healthier, make yourself a more difficult target in general. But these are the resilience important things that you can do for your system.
Listen, guys, we are at an hour and I want to make sure that a couple of questions, I don't know if it's Siobhan or Savan. Hi, I know who you are. Hi. Write me at info@sibosos.com because you need to talk to a SIBO specialist with all your phenomenal questions there. And we have a list of those for you. Karen, people are asking what the cost is of the total gut restoration. And remember, you can go to microbiomelabs.com. You need to enter patient direct code SIBOSOS because normally you would have to buy from a practitioner, but because Karen's so supportive of this community, he's allowed us to bring that to you. So patient direct code SIBOSOS. If you want total gut restore, you can get it at 10% off, and it's the coupon code, the second code you need is Gut Restore. And then if you want 15% off anything else on the website, different than the Gut Restore, that is same SIBO SOS code for Patient Direct. And then the coupon code is SIBO SOS 15 for 15% off, which is super generous. Thank you, Kieran. And that is for a temporary time. And in the chat is the coupon information. Open your email that we'll try to get to you later on today or tomorrow. It will have the recording as well as more the coupon information. How much is the total gut restoration program? And tell me one more time, what, just like recap what's in it and how long am I taking it for? And you need to buy the total gut restoration program all at the same time to get the discount.
Yeah. So it comes in a kit itself. And I'm embarrassed to say that I actually don't know exactly what
okay. the detail price it up, is right now.
Yeah, it's in the cart. It's 10% off whatever it is. I know that much, right? So basically what you'll get in there is the equivalent of 3 bottles of Megaspore. This is kind of what we call the 180 bottle. This is the big Bertha. This is the 90-day supply bottle. Right. So to save space in the kits, we have the 90-day supply bottle, because remember, you're taking this from month one, month two, and month three. You'll end up getting 2 of these prebiotics. Or if you opt for the capsule version of the prebiotic, we have a 60-day bottle of the prebiotic as well. That's kind of similar size to this. So equivalent of 2 bottles, and then you get 1 bottle of this. So there's a total of 6, equivalent of 6 monthly units of product in there. And again, that's a 90-day supply. So it's a 3-month program.
And Leah says it's $330. Thanks, Leah.
Yeah. Oh, is it? Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. Excellent.
But guys, if you already have Total Gut Restore, you can go and pick up several bottles of Megaspore or whatever else you want at Microbiome Labs with patient direct code SIBOSOS. And then that's SIBO SOS 15. Normally, we do have a 15% discount for Microbiome Labs for your first purchase, but Kieran has generously opened that up so you guys can really stock up right now. And again, that's temporary, so have at it. But Kieran, a couple of people are also asking about the Mega Prebiotic. Mm-hmm. And if you have SIBO, you and I have talked about this before, to hold off on that until your SIBO is gone and then add in your prebiotic, your mega prebiotic. Are you still down with that?
Yeah. You know, and we actually have surprisingly pretty good response from people who had, with SIBO with this particular product. And part of the reason is because, you know, the oligosaccharides that are in there are highly complex structures, and they can only be metabolized by certain groups of bacteria. And that may not be the microbes that are overgrowing in your small bowel, right? So they should be able to move through the small bowel, actually get to the colon itself, where those specialized microbes are there with the right enzymes to be able to break down and metabolize these. So if you're going to try it, just try small amounts of it. And one of the things I always remind people is with any kind of prebiotic and so on, you don't need to take the whole dose at once, right? The microbiome will actually benefit from just getting a very dispersed dose over the course of a day. So let's say this normal dose is 1 scoop a day, right? Let's say you were going to try a quarter of a scoop. You can mix a quarter of a scoop in a large thing of water, 24 ounces, 30 ounces, shake it up and just kind of sip it throughout the entire day, right? So you don't have to get it all into your system at once. So you can try it. We have a lot of people with SIBO that have had tolerance to it, especially at lower doses. And then as your SIBO-related symptoms are improving, then you can dose up on it as well.
So you also go to his website. There's a ton of information there. That's like one of the like sleeper sites on the web for microbiome information, which makes sense that you would have that there, but I don't know how many people actually are like reading every word like I do. So check out the information there as well, microbiomelabs.com. We do need to wrap up. I know we didn't get to as many questions as we wanted to. We never do, but we do cover a lot of them. Mm-hmm. One quick question is Jane's saying there's not enough mega prebiotic in the total gut restoration kit. How long do you take the mega pre for?
So you're taking it for 2 months. So you would have two tubs of this.
You're getting enough, Leah. Is it Leah?
Yeah, absolutely. You are. It's designed.
You're getting enough.
For sure.
Okay. Guys, can you mix bone pre? But yeah, you can mix it all up. That's this. I'm really glad you guys are asking this. What I've noticed that so many of us don't want to do anything wrong because we don't feel well to begin with, so we don't want to think, oh, I just made something worse because I, ate it on an empty stomach, or I had orange juice, whatever. What I've found about these formulations is that they're very flexible. You can put some powder in some jello. You can, put some powder on your finger and lick it. I've had friends who put it right there at the base of their nostrils when they're having sinus situations. I know Dr. Al, the periodontist who's with us right now, has people put it in their mouths on their gums. Someone was asking about that. So it's incredibly flexible and it's also super powerful. So do follow Kieran's advice about starting slow. And so that's kind of a balance, right, Kieran? It's like really powerful, but don't be afraid of it.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. I mean, it's your friend, right? It's there.
Right.
These the organisms, especially in Megaspore, are naturally designed to kind of clean up and your system, because that's the symbiosis that we've created with these organisms, is we give them a temporary home and they clean up that home for us. So it's a beautiful relationship, and we have to take advantage of that relationship by getting adequate exposure to them. If the world was normal and we were all living off the land like we're supposed to, we'd be getting plenty of exposure to them naturally, and we wouldn't need it, right, in this format. But we don't, and that has disruptive effects on our system. So we just got to get them back in there. And it's really important to note that all of the things about the gut, about dysfunctions in the gut that are related to significant immune dysfunctions, are exactly the same things that are also the dysfunctions that drive chronic illness, right? So it's not like you're modulating the gut in one specific way for immune health and another specific way for autoimmunity and one for weight. It's actually the foundationally the same stuff that's wrong. You know, it's diversity, keystone species, leaky gut. It's the same thing over and over again. And so it's no surprise that these studies have come out with what your gut looks like determines your COVID response. And sure enough, it's the same dysfunction that leads to chronic illnesses like diabetes and heart disease and so on. So there's a lot you guys can do for yourselves to improve your health. A lot of that power is within your hands and your capabilities, as and there's a lot of options out there. So, you know, nobody should ever feel hopeless when it comes to improving your health, improving your resilience and all that, because there's a lot you can do.
And I, in the Facebook group, we have like almost 18,000 people in there. And one thing I see all the time is people really do know what to do. They have the advice, but they're just freaking exhausted and over it, right? Like, oh, well, have you done another breath test, or have you done this stool test, whatever? And they're like, just they know they should be doing it. They're like, yeah, I just haven't gotten around to it. Oh, I, whatever. And of course, finances are a factor for sure. But hang in there, everybody. Really, seriously, breathe. Take a break if you need to, for goodness sakes. Just let it all go for a minute or a day or whatever you feel is appropriate. But that micromanagement needs to be balanced with the breath and knowing there is hope and there is an answer. And for those of us who have had long-term issues and you think like nothing's ever going to change, please know that it can change. It absolutely can. So just don't give up. Hang in there, everyone. Okay. Karen, thank you so much, sir. I really appreciate you as always. Love
Thank you,
you.
guys. Appreciate
Thanks.
it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. I'm going to send out the email. You're going to be able to go to Karen's other free classes at SIBO SOS platform. And they're hours of beautiful information from him, including really wonderful explanations of leaky gut and what you need to know. Hang in there, Leah. Hang in there, everybody. This is my new book. Heck yeah, I'm going to tell you about it because it's out on February 2nd. That's Tuesday of next week. And it is everything I wish I had known about SIBO when I, well, prior to getting diagnosed with it. But, I've had it since I was five. This gives you what you need to know. Siobhan, Stephen, definitely pick this up if you can. I think I'm not sure if you can get it internationally yet, but it's on Amazon and all your favorite booksellers. And if you get it now, it's even on sale. They already put it on sale. And also, there are recipes in here, and it has the step-by-step program that was developed originally by Dr. Pimentel and then added to by Dr. Steven Sandberg Lewis and Dr. Allison Seebecker. And it's on page 111. And I even added to it, which I'm super proud about. So this is the SIBO Recovery Roadmap algorithm. Thanks, Leah. Thanks, Cinda, for already getting it. Really hang in there, guys. This is the book I wish I had had. I'm so happy Random House recognized the need for a book like this in the marketplace and encouraged me to write it and has published it. Thank you to Random House. All right, hang in there. If you want the 10% off total gut restoration, the information's in the chat here if you're in Zoom. And then it's also if you want 15% off the rest of the site for Microbiome Labs, which is huge. Use patient direct code SIBO SOS and then use, you have to use a coupon code as well. And that is, I think, SIBO SOS 15. Okay. If you have any questions, you can email us at info@sibosos.com and someone will get back to you as soon as possible. We are not allowed to give out medical advice, but we do have a speakers list of experts in the field, and you can look up people there. Most of them are doing telemedicine, which is so silver lining about the whole situation that's been going on, where that has opened up for so many people who would never even have dreamt of doing telemedicine before. So there are people out there who are experts in these fields and can help you. If you do order the book before February 2nd, you do get a lot of bonuses. So I hope you'll join us for that. And be sure to open the email and watch some of Kieran's other recordings that he's done for us. And join us in the Facebook group for those of you on Zoom. If you haven't gotten into the Facebook group yet, you can find it. I think it's SIBO SOS community. Type some stuff in, you'll find it. it's also in the email. Okay, I'm gonna wish you all well and wrap it up right now. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. And just so you know, I do have some other summits coming out, including the Lymphatic Rescue Summit. That's in April. And then I'm doing a Biological Dental Summit coming up in September. Very excited about both of these topics. I want to scream from the mountaintops about what people don't know about it and what I've learned, which is the purpose of this passion project of mine to share with you all everything that I have been discovering that is not out there for the lay person to have access to. And it's almost like hidden. That's what I found. You have to do so many Google searches and then there's misinformation and confusion. There's a lot of confusion. Trust me, I'm with you 100%. So I've been really working hard to try to clarify that for everybody. All right, take care. Thanks, Lauren. Leah, I'm with you. Yeah, I'm sure. This whole hydrogen sulfide SIBO, you guys, Dr. Pimentel's test, the Trio Smart test at Gemelli Labs, I think it's triosmart.com. They have a new breath test that will measure your hydrogen, your methane, and your hydrogen sulfide. If you don't know what I'm talking about, come to sibosos.com and also sibo.info.com, which is Dr. Seebecker's site. Leah, I'm glad Trio Smart vindicated you. Heck yeah. And also, if you don't know if you have an underlying cause that is food poisoning for your SIBO and IBS, Dr. Pimentel also created the IBS Smart Test, which is the blood test that can tell you whether or not you have the antibodies associated with food poisoning that causes the post-infectious, the after-infection of food poisoning that can be impacting you decades after that first episode. Okay, more later. Love you. Bye. Thanks, everybody.